Thank you, Brother Jesse. Amen. We've been working him this weekend. He's been everywhere, man, everywhere. And if you weren't seeing your Patriots, you got to see him there. And I think he was doing a game show. I got to be a small part of it. Instead of phoning a friend, they were phoning the pastor. And I got all three of my questions right. Amen. And so it was good. Enjoyed that, doing that. And then we had, I think he had a youth activity that night. And then singing today and all the duties of the day. Appreciate everything everybody does. We're going to be in 1 John chapter number 4 tonight. Now, not too long ago, we were in this chapter of Scripture, at least this year. How's that? We were in there a couple of times, maybe, in the area. I know preachers teaching through this book. But in 1 John chapter number 4 tonight, I want to deal with something that the Lord laid on my heart and I believe will be a help to us tonight about the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit. And here in 1 John chapter number 4, the Bible deals directly with the spirits and how to deal with spirits. And we've went over this a little bit this year in another message about how to deal with some things. But here I think it's important for us to, especially during this time of year, to apply it to our lives. Sometimes when we take a scripture in different seasons and then apply that and how that looks to us, it helps us to reckon rightly, to divide correctly, to separate. And even in the scripture, you're going to see the spirit is going to be the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. It's going to clearly be the sounds of the world and the sounds of the church. All right, so there's going to be a separation between that clearly through the scripture and then a focus of everything here. And so, but I did hear about two men in Florida that decided, you know, there was Christmas time of year and their wives wanted to go Christmas shopping. And they felt like it was a better idea to go fishing together. It must have been Dr. Nixon and Dr. Pitts, correct? But they were going to go out, they're going to go fishing while their wives go. And while they're out there, you know, it wasn't a great weather report, but they weren't going Christmas shopping. They were staying with the fishing. And while they're out, a storm came up. And again, they looked at that storm and said, I still rather be fishing. Storm got bad. Pushed them onto a sandbar. Knee deep in the mud, trying to push that boat off that sandbar. One man looked at the other and said, I'd still rather be here. All right, in 1 John chapter number 4 tonight. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read several verses tonight, but, you know, every one of us have heard the Christmas spirit, you know, and I think even right off the bat, just thinking about dividing or separating in your mind, the Christmas spirit means something different depending upon what you believe in. Totally something different. And so tonight, the message, it ought to be something that while you're going through the scripture, you evaluate your practice of Christmas. Who you are, how you deal with it with your family. Every one of our families have different traditions and things that we do and things. But again, for the Christian, I want everything I do. You know, as I became a Christian, it changed me from the inside out. It changed my speech. It changed what I listened to. Changed who I hung out with. And so even as we go through traditional things, it doesn't mean that we cannot continue on things. But I think that for me and my house, we decided to serve the Lord. And so there are traditions. Our family didn't have a tradition of going to church before we got saved. But it's a tradition in my family now. And so you ought to see that even in a Christmas season, that the Spirit of God and the spirit of Christmas, or how we think about Christmas, ought to do some things in our life. And when we evaluate it and look at it with spiritual eyes, we ought to be able to discern some things. And you say, well, preacher, how personal are you going to get? Well, I know that here, if you're a believer and you trust in Christ, you know, I don't have to get as specific as the Holy Spirit will get with you. And if you're not careful tonight, you'll come up and tell me what I said, and it wasn't what I said. It was what the Holy Spirit said. So before you come and blame me for something I said and got in your grill about tonight, get the tape. Make sure I said that. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I do want to pray before we get started and really dive deep into the scripture. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I beg you tonight, again, I want to be a blessing to a people, Lord. I want these people, Lord, to hear from you tonight. And I beg you, God, just to help me move me out of the way and use me as your vessel, just your messenger boy tonight. I pray, God, that you would use your scripture. I know it will not return void, but Lord, I pray that it would, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would plow ground that would take the seed of your word and would apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 John chapter number 4, and verse number 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come into in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You see the discernment there? We can, because of who is in us and the power in us, we can discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I did not have that power before the Holy Spirit came into me. I could discern what I thought was truth, but my discerning was always, if I could say it, shooting from a hip pocket or some small discernment that I had as a man. You know, here in the scripture, when I have the Holy Spirit and I'm yielded to him, he can discern truth. He witnesses when I say, "I believe that is truth." The Spirit of God inside me goes, "That is truth." He confirms it. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That just simply means an atonement, an atoning sacrifice for us. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." It is easy from the scripture tonight to realize that the whole passage of scripture drives to a place that he begins by saying that he discerns between the spirits, and he's going to give us a discerning testament of that the Son of God has showed up in the flesh. Now, that argument for everybody that comes short of making Jesus 100% God and 100% man, every other ism, schism, false doctrine, anything else out there is always going to come short. They're going to say, yes, Jesus Christ was a person who existed, but to claim that he's anything more than a good man or a man, just a fleshly man, that the Spirit of God rested upon, that's what so many people believe. And that's not truth. Truth is that he was the virgin-born Son of God with a perfect body of flesh, the second Adam, and then 100% God, all made into one. That God Almighty appeared in a fleshly body and then laid that body and blood down for mine and your sins. That's the spirit of truth. And everything else outside of that, or that comes short of it, even if they tell some truth, is a lie. Because a half-truth is a lie. And there's a bunch of things out there that use Jesus Christ in there again. And I could go through the list of naming them, but I don't want to bash everything out there. I just want you to know that the spirit of Antichrist will let you understand and have a half-truth. He'll give you half a Bible. He'll send you down to get the ESV or the NIV. He'll let you get HIV. He'll let you get all kinds of other stuff out there as long as you stay away from the truth, the whole Word of God. You've got to understand that the spirit of Antichrist is all, he understands that he cannot deceive the race of man that is on planet Earth by just trying to remove all truth from man. The greatest deception is people believing almost the truth. Even the liberal media or the liberal politician, they know that they can't sell a bald-faced lie. So they try to put the blame. They think, what is true about me? What evil do I commit? So then they blame it on somebody else. Because they know it's true and somebody could do it because they did it. And again, I'm not, you know, whether you believe, you know, in Russian collusion or not, I think that's come full circle. Pastor Carter was preaching that in the early days, that he's claiming something that he's guilty of. And they chase down. Now, if you can't see that for what it is, they just, instead of telling a half a truth, they'll tell the real truth about themselves. They just place it on somebody else. And here in the scripture tonight, we see that the Bible, the Christmas spirit, you know, the world has a spirit that'll tell all kinds of things. They even, you know, even in their mindset and everything, you know, they believe they got a generate, you know, I mean, there's a whole group of stories that Santa's sleigh is powered by the Christmas spirit. You know where they got that half-truth from? That the believer is actually empowered by the Holy Spirit. People believe things because spirits can empower. And they apply it. And why do people take it? Because they can swallow a half-truth and realize, yes, spirits do give power. They feel it. When they believe in something strongly, they believe that. Do you know a judge? There was the atheist that went. You know, and think about all the different holidays during the year. And he just, atheists, they hate the Christmas holiday because it has the name of Christ in it. So they went before the judge all the way to the Supreme Court and argued that they needed a day. Finally heard all the arguments and the judge said, the case is closed. What are you talking about? He said, you do have a day. What do you mean? We do have a day. He says, it's April 1st, April Fool's Day. Amen. You say, we laugh about that kind of stuff. Again, and that's scriptural, calling them exactly who they are. But even if they did have a day, they couldn't tell anybody because they don't believe in anything. And to be honest with you, folks, even if you boil it down, they believe that there isn't any God, but they still worship themselves. We got plenty of those days. We got Martin Luther King's birthday. Right? You say a man did good things, yes, but again, even the president's days, we have so many days that we look into things and we worship man. Think about how many men we put up. Think about how many days in the year Jesus gets one day and he's the savior of the world, but we put a bunch of other men's birthday up. And nobody wants to argue or tear those down. It's not even politically correct to even speak against that kind of stuff. But they, listen, nobody goes on a tear trying to change the name of those holidays. But they want to tear down the name of Christ. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe that that's the spirit of Antichrist, I'm not saying those men are. I'm saying the spirit of Antichrist in the world today is trying to tear down anything good. And they're not trying to replace it with a bald-faced lie, just tearing out a smidgen of truth. And just give us a little bit. You say, well, preacher, what do you find, you believe that, you know? Well, think about it this way, all right? Number one, I want you to see the Bible tells us to try the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. False prophets, that means God has his prophets who have spoken the word of God, and there's a whole bunch of people that are still false prophets. That means they're the devil's crowd. And they're trying to prophesy just like God's crowd would. That this end is coming. That the end is coming, believe this. Do you know the false prophets out there saying the end is coming? Believe half of what he said. You know, think about even with what we, when we talk about, think about the spirit of Christmas itself. There is a divine spirit and there is a deceiving spirit. All right? That means Christmas is here and they have completely come up with a whole complete, we have a nativity scene. How do we celebrate? Think about how we're going to try the spirits. There's a nativity scene. Joseph, babe, the manger. Whether you think the wise men should be there or not, that was something that came up during the banquet. Okay? I'd rather have the wise men there than have the North Pole in my front yard. All right? I've never been there. Somebody may actually live up there, but I'm not going to go check because I know that he's not the savior of the world. Amen. Folks, I'm just saying, all right, a nativity scene. How do we decorate our home? What is the focus of our Christmas? I'm just saying, come on, try the spirits. Try the spirit of your home. Who is glorified? The nativity scene, Jesus. Or does Santa Claus get first place? How about this? Think about the nativity scene. What does the nativity scene speak to you? That Jesus, God's Son, has come in the flesh to die for the sins of the world. Over here, there's somebody that's going to show up to judge whether you're naughty or nice. Now we laugh about that, but listen, that sounds like religion to me. If your good works outweigh your bad works, it sounds like they're trying to get children to understand a religion that's going to come just down the street because they're teaching them a religion. They teach them to believe in somebody that doesn't exist. That it's not going to be really that bad. If you're really bad, instead of getting something really good, you get coal. Right? And to be honest with you folks, if you really run the reference back, coal in that day was something that would keep you warm. So even though it wasn't something fun to play with, he cared about you enough to give you heat and warmth. Hey folks, I'm going to tell you, there is, naughty or nice, just, you know, the Bible that I read lists us all under naughty. It don't care if you've been nice to somebody or not. You can't weigh them out, one sin. And if we're all honest with ourselves, right? There's been more than one. And that the Savior of the world had to leave heaven and come to earth, be born in human flesh so that he could redeem the human race back to God. Because the whole human race had been naughty. They had broken God's law. Folks, you say, well, preacher, I'm trying the spirits. I'm just saying. I mean, it's not popular to preach this kind of stuff. But Jesus is, look to him and he'll say, look to the nativity scene and realize that that Jesus is coming to die on the cross for every man. The other side saying, look at yourself. Evaluate your own works and balance them out. Do you know the Christian is not taught that until after they've come to Christ? Till they have a power that can help them follow the word of God. Till they have come to Jesus Christ and can earn rewards in heaven. You can't reward someone that's not going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Now you can reward them, but you're going to be rewarded for your deeds. And that's your sins. And it ain't the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to show up at the great white throne judgment. And nobody's getting crowns at that judgment seat. Everyone's cast into the lake of fire. Now that sounds awful. And it sounds a lot worse than coal. It sounds a lot worse than I didn't get what I wanted. Folks, I'm just here to tell you. Say, preacher, I know, well, listen, our works decide some things in our life. They do. We're known all around us. Do you know even people that visit your home, when they walk in, whether you believe it or not, they're trying the spirits. And they'll try the spirit of Christmas in your own home. And who reigns supreme in your life? You say, preacher, just because of my decorations, they can't tell who reigns supreme in your life. Yes, they can. You say, preacher, it's a collectible that I collect. Again, I'm not after anybody or trying to hurt anybody down there. I'm just telling you, when I back out of the driveway every Sunday morning to come to church, it sends a message. The way I decorate my house sends a message. You know, it sends a message, you know, I don't decorate my yard for Halloween. But there's a bunch of other people that do, and it sends a message. You say, oh, preacher, come on now. I'm just saying. Everything we do in this life tells people what side we're on. How we vote. We like to think, oh, this two-party system, it's not a big deal. Hey, folks, it don't take long in any conversation when you reveal what side you're on. Business picks up. Spirits are revealed. Right? And folks, I'm just telling you, how about when we try the spirits? Look at the Bible and what it says. It says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already it is in the world. So I want to witness, and I want my house to witness, and my decorations to witness, and my speech to witness that Jesus has come and died for the sins of the world. I want all those things to witness of him. But how about this? Now it's going to say, try the sounds, if you would. Number two, point number two for tonight, I want to get, not only try the spirits, but try the sounds. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world speaks and the world hears. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Folks, who's going to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who's going to recognize? You know, people that are going around, they can walk into your house. A lost man can walk in and they just see Christmas decorations. But a Christian, he knows truth from error. He knows the difference between things. Think about this, trying the sounds. You know, and again, I know that this may sound like it's all one point, but just indulge me for one moment. I believe trying the spirit is what side I'm on. But how about the signs? You know, you can take a side and you can have the Spirit of God inside of you, but you may think, well, this is the holidays. It's not a big deal, right? So it doesn't matter what kind of holiday music that I play. Can I just submit to you tonight? Do you know that holiday music, even tonight, what was sung, there's good, there's right holiday music, and there's wrong holiday music. There's holiday music that the world listens to, and there's holiday music that Christians listen to. And again, I want you to understand what spirit is inside of you determines what your music lifts up and what it glorifies. Oh, it's innocent. It's innocent Christmas music. Right? Folks, you say, well, I don't see the big deal in it. Preacher, I get it. I understand. You just want to take this one season off from being a Christian. If you just want to take this one season of the year off from being a witness, you just want to take, it's okay. I understand all that worldly music is bad, but it's okay during Christmas season. No. If it was wrong all the rest of the year, all the other 11 months, it's wrong for 12 months as well. If it was worldly and had a bad beat all year long, and it's wrong when it comes to Christmas. You say, preacher, come on now. I'm trying to tell you, try the spirits. Does the music that you listen to during Christmas time, does that sound like it's giving a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, or does it sound like it's lifting up a different spirit? Is it glorifying God, or is it glorifying man? Is it glorifying, again, for me, you say, is there anything inherently sinful about Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer? No, but no one ever came to Christ listening to Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. And nobody walked into your home and said, this home is a Christian home because Rudolph is here. Maybe Randolph, but not Rudolph. Amen? Music. How about the message that your home sends? We talked about that. The themes that we put in the front yard. I don't know. As a Christian and a believer in God, if I had decorations and I got saved, if I had Santa Claus in the sleigh, I'd have to get rid of him. And I'd have to put a nativity scene in my front yard. Because Santa Claus didn't die for me. Because Santa Claus never did one thing for me. And even if he did show up, he ate my cookies and drank my milk. And then bolted, right? We laugh about that, but we realize even when trying the spirits, we ought to try the sounds. There are things all through the holiday season, the message that we speak during the holiday season, we ought to judge that by the Spirit of God. Does that sound like the world, or does that sound like Christ? Does that sound like the world, or does that sound like Scripture? Does that sound like the world and its message? And also, you say, well, how can I really test the spirits? Well, you have the Spirit of God inside of you, but who's listening when you speak? Do Christians tune in to the message that you're speaking during the holiday season? And does their spirit witness with your spirit? Or does it turn other Christians off? And you just think they're a pack of Pharisees, but they can't stomach what you do during the holiday season. They can't hang out with you because of your traditions. You ought to understand that the world hears the world. And the Bible says that he that is not of God heareth not us. Say, well, my Christmas party wasn't one for the ages. It's probably a good thing. It's probably one that God would be proud of. Say, preacher, what do you mean? The end of the verse, verse 6, is hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you know that how the message is received by the world ought to give us a tuning in? You say, the world? Yeah, the world. You know, I know most of you don't think that, you know, I love our radio station. You know, but the world doesn't tune in to hear our Christmas music. Not because the music's bad. It's because they can't hear the message. Do you know even the world's Christmas music, if you were to go out and dive into it, it would probably sound a lot like the rest of the world's country music. Having boyfriends and losing boyfriends, having girlfriends and losing girlfriends. You know, it's all about plowing through the snow. You all left the north to come out of the snow. Who wants to sing about snow? I'd rather sing about Jesus. Amen. I'd rather sing about him coming and dying and rising again for the sins of the world to pay for them. Say, preacher, I take too much. What about this? Even when I think about this, this is something. And I'm talking about leveling up in your Christian faith. What about money at Christmas time? What do we spend our money on? Now, I realize Christmas time is a time, and I'm not after you tonight. I just think it's another way that you can try the spirits. Every one of us have families. But you know, as we make the transition into the third point, it talks about loving the brethren. And too many times during a year, we're so close. 11 months we spend with our church family. We cling to them. And there's nothing wrong with spending holidays with our family, our blood relatives, and hanging out with them, even spending money on them. That is the season. We do a lot of those things, do we not? That is not wicked or inherently evil, but you ever think about, do you buy something that shows to them what spirit's in you? Or do you just get them what they want? Do you buy something that you wouldn't buy for yourself or for one of your children? For someone else because it's what they want? You know, I would rather not be the favorite uncle or the favorite aunt and give a present with purpose that gave a message of Jesus Christ than I would be one that gave a gift that hurt my conscience. That gave a gift that I'm not sure would help. Now, I'm the uncle that did get the kids, you know, the trumpets, the flutes, you know, the ones that I'm getting you back, sister or brother, right? But you know, as they progress and they get a little bit older, they ask for different things. And we love them. We love them like they're our own children and would take care of them because they're our blood, if need be. So again, I'm not ever going to buy something questionable for them because that's what they really want. Because I want to take status in their life. I would rather them know who they can turn to when things go really bad because of the spirit that lies within me. You say, that doesn't sound right to me. Well, the world hears and the Christian hears. You know, I mean, you know, we talk about just our families in general. And sometimes, you know, that message, they don't share the same message. Most of us, if you don't have a saved family, even you can't talk about politics or religion when you go over there. But folks, I'm just going to tell you know, when we give gifts, our gifts ought to be ones they may not understand, but it's what they need. Say, preacher, you'd give a Bible to your family? Absolutely. What about if your family's Christian and they use something other than the King James? We'll get them a good one. You say you wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I just think for all of us, we ought to come to a place where we realize weigh all those things. This Christmas season, Christ ought to be first in everything in our lives, in our music, our message. In this season, if Christ truly is the reason for the season, then it ought to permeate everything that happens. The decorations, the songs, everything. Try this. Look at the scripture. He says, beloved, in verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Do you know, even when we measure this life and even when it's going to encourage us to love, we have to remember that when we went in the baptismal tank and joined the church, it was a picture of dying to ourselves and rising to live and to walk in a newness of life, to live through Jesus Christ, through his eyes, through his word, through his church, through his purpose. Everything about us, even the Christmas season, if we're not careful, we won't let the things of Christ permeate us that deep. There'll be a pie chart, but this one little area of our life, God, you can have 99% of my life, but this single day, this single season, that's for me. You can't have it. I'm not going to live through you in this area of my life. Folks, you know, the Christian life, most of the time, once we accept Christ, most of our life is continuing areas that God shows us of ways that we can further surrender ourselves. He peels back Once we've, you know, sometimes, you know, we think we've made it. I obeyed you in this area, God. Now I'm good, right? No. When you get back in his word, guess what he's going to do? He's going to reveal the next area that he desires to have with you, a new walk with you, another step of faith, a new place for you to continue on farther for him. Because he wants to get glory out of your life. He wants you to try the spirits. He wants people to hear the sounds of heaven coming in word and witness and in song from your house, from your car, from your bumper stickers, from your decorations on your house. Everything that you are ought to witness and show that Christ is the reason for the season. But throughout the scripture, and this is something I don't understand why we don't always apply to the spirit that lives within us. Do you know this? The picture that Jesus continually told his disciples and is echoed throughout the Gospels, and even as we get to the back end of the New Testament in 1 John, as we near the end, it's echoed again that if we are going to be like God and have his spirit reign supreme in our life, we will love the brethren. And what a shame it would be if we came through the Christmas season, because we oftentimes we get self-absorbed. For much of the staff that's here, I do realize we work so hard and we come to a place where we kind of take a breath and take a rest in the Christmas season. But if we're not careful, it'll be, and again, we are not this type of church, but you've heard of the church that's us four and no more. We're only concerned with us and us for our four families that founded the church and continue to echo it on. That's not the type of church you find yourself in tonight. It is a church of family. It is a church that loves one another. But even if we're not careful, we'll take this one part of the year off. And folks that are in our church that don't have any family, find no one that opens the door to them or invites them to be a part of their family for Christmas season. And sometimes, even in a brand new year, we mentioned it this morning, but we come through a new year and people find themselves in a whole different way. People that they used to celebrate the holidays with have gone on to heaven, and they're no longer there. And we have to, folks, we have to love the brethren all year long. I don't read anywhere in the scripture that we get a day off from loving our brother in Christ. That we get a day where we say, you know what? This day, this Christmas season and this week is just for me and mine. If it's about Christ and Christ is the reason for the season, then he's truly the reason for the season. And to love the brethren, you say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I love the fact that we went home for Thanksgiving. And, Thanksgiving is a time for family and we had a family meal. But my father-in-law and my mother-in-law always invite this one couple from their church. They don't have any other family in the area, and they don't really have anybody else, but that's their family. That church family is their family. And they say, you got anywhere to be this Thanksgiving? Every year. Well, no? Okay, come be with us. Folks, you know, as a church family and as a church body, the more and more we try the spirits and try the sounds of Christmas, Jesus came to lay down his life. And people have accepted him, and the world doesn't hear him anymore. They shouldn't want to desire to go to the Christmas parties that they are invited to. And they've set up shop, and this has become their home. This has become their family. All they need is somebody to include them. All they need is somebody to show them love. Folks, I'm just saying, when you're given the opportunity or when the Spirit witnesses with someone else in your church and you find out they don't have Christmas, they're not going to have a dinner or a meal, I'm not talking about having them over there at 6 o'clock in the morning in their pajamas, right? You need to try the spirits. But I'm saying we all too often, sometimes we take a portion of the year and we're so thoughtful and then we take a time out. This part is for me. this is for mine. When, if I'm living through Christ, I'm pretty sure he doesn't ever take a day off. I'm pretty sure that every day he lived and worked and loved the brethren. And now I see that at the right hand. Just this week, I taught in Acts about how Stephen was preaching. I mean, Stephen was a preacher, friend. You read that in the book of Acts, and I mean, he just was letting them have it. He went on a historical trail that took them to a place where they realized they had crucified the just one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ran on him and gnashed on him with their teeth. And then the Bible says that the heaven was open to him, and he saw Jesus standing. Now, I know Jesus went to heaven and took a seated position, but there's some things that Jesus just won't stand for. Now, I don't know what was about to happen. Now, I know Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus and has a confrontation with the apostle Paul, at the time whose name was Saul, right? But can you imagine what would have happened that day in that place had Stephen not prayed exactly what Jesus prayed? Amen. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. Yeah. You want to talk the difference in the spirit of the world and the spirit of the church. Instead of looking at everybody that has Santa Claus up and being mad with them. Bunch of pagans, right? We're going to go up and tear their decorations down. That's crazy talk. That's not the right spirit. The right spirit is to go drive by that house and go, God, I write down the address. I need to go back there and witness to them. You ever anybody drive around and look at Christmas lights? That's a big thing where I'm from. People just drive around the countryside and look at all the Christmas lights. Do you know you can tell the spirit whether a spirit of God is in a place just by the way the house is decorated? When you drive by, and again, when you come to a place where you contemplate the spirit, the Christmas spirit, you look at that house, boy, we can drive down the road and go. It's clear when holidays, right? During Halloween, drive by, and what do? You say, man, those people? Or do you go, Lord, I pray that they'd come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if the greatest need of the world was information, God would have sent an educator. If the greatest need of the world was technology, God would have sent a scientist. If the greatest need of the world was somewhat money, God would have sent an economist. But the greatest need of the world was forgiveness, and he sent his son, because he was the only one that could die for the sins of the world. And what people need to know, I read a story today. As I prepared this afternoon, I read a story of a Christian interviewer. Now that is wide open, right? Who was in Tokyo. And most of the world, folks, whether you believe it or not, they don't all celebrate Christmas like we do. In Tokyo, met a young woman on the street, stuck the microphone in her face and said, what is the meaning of Christmas? And she said, isn't that the time that Jesus died? And the reporter began to try to explain that it was the time of his coming. And the more he tried to stumble over his words, he said, you're absolutely right. See, his purpose was to come and die. From the time that he showed up and was born, he was born to die for the sins of the world. He set his life to fulfill everything that was predicted of the Messiah. You know why Jesus lived so long in the earthly life and was obedient and then began his earthly ministry? And then it seems, why did it take him so long to get to the cross? Because he was trying to prove over and over again all the hundreds and hundreds of predictions that he is the Son of God who came in flesh and blood, not the Son of Man, but the Son of God incarnate in flesh to die for the sins of the world. Let me ask you this tonight, as you measure your life, what spirit does the Christmas season, your life and your practices, your traditions, what does it send? Does it send a divine spirit? There's a divine spirit. Or does it send out to the world a deceiving spirit? Is it a spirit or a message that the world hears and recognizes? Or is it one that befuddles them because they don't understand that spirit? Because they're not the spirit of truth and in the spirit of truth, but in the spirit of error. You know, before I was saved, I don't know that I could balance all those things that were spoken of tonight. Trying the spirits is not for the unbelieving, but for the Christian. Because there is a spirit inside of us that can discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have not received that spirit that I'm talking about. That's the Holy Spirit of God that's given to a Christian at the moment of salvation. It's the spirit that's given not only to help us be discerning, but is to seal us into the day of redemption. We talked about that little bit of error. You know, there are people that preach and teach almost everything that we do, but they teach that you can lose your salvation. And this Bible teaches, word truthful, that if you could lose it, you could never get it back again. Not unless the Son of God came from heaven and died on Calvary again to redeem you unto himself. Folks, if you're here tonight, listen, it's Jesus plus nothing to save you. And let me just tell you this, if you have been saved, the Bible teaches once saved, always saved. You don't sin again and lose it because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And when I get saved at the moment of salvation, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 teaches that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That spirit of promise that God gave, and he seals us until Jesus is coming back. I have no power. Even, listen folks, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit that keeps me, that sealed me at the day of salvation, I couldn't keep it. There's not a person on earth that could keep their salvation. Because God Almighty chose us before the foundation of the world in that chapter. Then Jesus redeemed us with his own blood. And then he sent the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit to seal us and keep us until he comes to return for us. That's the kind of spirit people need to hear about. Not one of naughty or nice. One that I've been naughty. But God in heaven had compassion upon my soul. And he sent his son to die on Calvary for me. If you're here tonight and you don't know that Jesus, you've never accepted him as your personal Savior, you don't have a I know so salvation because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, that's something you ought to get straight with him tonight. You ought to walk an aisle and say, God, I want to accept you as my Savior. I want to be saved. I want to have that spirit that the preacher preached about tonight. Can't get that on your own. It can only be given by accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't lift himself up. There's a lot of people that measure salvation by the acting out of the Spirit. The Spirit will reveal truth, and every time he's going to witness of Jesus Christ, and he's going to preach Jesus Christ every time. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then tonight is the night of salvation. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you this. Church member, do you have the right kind of Christmas spirit? Does your life, your message, your music, your decorations echo the Jesus that you have received in your heart? If you're here and you're lost and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you say, preacher, I don't know. I've never accepted Jesus. Why don't you step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle tonight? And come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're here and you're like that tonight, you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? If there's one like that in the building, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip it up and let me see it? All right. Let's stand to our feet as Brother Bert sings, "You come and do what God has asked you to do."